Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas has styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
This episode is brought to you by Netflix. From the creator of Homeland, Claire Danes and Matthew Reese star in the new Netflix series, The Beast in Me, as ruthless rivals whose shared darkness will set them on a collision course with fatal consequences. The Beast in Me is a riveting psychological cat and mouse story about guilt, justice, and doubt. You will not want to miss this. The Beast in Me is now playing only on Netflix.
Shopping is hard.
I can never find anything in my size.
I don't even know my size.
I buy my clothes the same place I buy my groceries.
There's a better way. Make it easy with Stitch Fix. Just share your size, style, budget, and done. Your personal stylist sends pieces picked just for you.
That was easy.
Stitch Fix. Online personal styling for everyone. Free shipping and returns. No subscription required. Get started today at stitchfix.com.
It's time for...
Here we go.
Kickoff.
Wait, shot!
With Boomer Esiason and Mike Valenti.
Oh, that's right. And it is an absolutely loaded Week 11 card. Boomer, how are you, brother?
You know, Mike, I'm doing great, and you are so right. What a card we have this week. And this is where teams really start to separate themselves and start to show who really are the best teams in the league, especially when we get to the picks. And I think when we think about Kansas City and Denver, and you think about... the Seahawks and the Rams. I mean, we have some great games this weekend.
Big time. I want to start Thursday night before we get to the rundown. We've got coaching news. Patriots, just business. Handle the Jets. But, Boomer, I want you to rank Drake May. You know I'm a slap for this guy. But I think he's top five quarterback. I think he's absolutely in the discussion for MVP. But I want you to rank him. Where is Drake May today? If Boomer Esiason is ranking quarterbacks.
Well, if I could pick him first, I would. I mean, because of his youth and his ability to stay poised. I mean, when you watch the game against the Jets on Thursday night, what you saw is a quarterback that knows how to go through his progressions. He's accurate. He's decisive. And he's also athletic enough to run if he has to. They don't call a lot of runs for him because they'd rather have him sit in the pocket like Tom Brady used to do for the Patriots. That's what he reminds me of. I mean, he may be a better athlete than Tom is. Early on in his career, but he's doing things that Hall of Famers have done at the beginning of their career. So the numbers speak for themselves. His success and his team's success speak for itself. And then, of course, Mike Vrabel says after the game on Thursday night, one of the reasons I came to New England was because of Drake May. And that's what somebody's going to be saying about the New York Giants when they get the job next year.
Well, great segue. That's why you're the professional. Let's just get to the rundown.
The NFL Rundown.
All right, ding dong, day ball's gone. I didn't necessarily have to have it. You know, it doesn't have a lot of meaning. But Boomer, WTF, what are the Giants doing keeping Joe Shane and saying he's leading the search? Let's unpack this deal. How surprised are you they pulled the trigger? Where do you stand on Shane leading the charge?
So I wasn't surprised that they pulled the trigger on Brian Daboll. Too many blown leads, too many collapses at the end of these games. And 3 years in a row, only winning two wins 10 weeks into the season. So The record speaks for itself, and the ownership basically was tired of watching it. So somebody had to pay the price, and I think, you know, this is like a mercy firing. They don't want to have him go out there in front of the fans on Sunday against the Packers. So they kind of did him a favor. And I like Brian Daboll. I think he'll land on his feet. He'll be coaching in the NFL or in college next year somewhere. But it had to happen just simply because you can't keep watching the same thing over and over and over again. And it's unfortunate that Jackson Dart took the concussion, but now Mike Kafka inherits the reins. Now, as far as Joe Shane is concerned, I was surprised too. I really was. I mean, especially when you look at his draft and some of the trades and some of the, you know, some of the things that he has done here have not worked out. But the one thing you can say is that Jackson Dart has worked out, and I would also say that's because Brian Daboll really wanted him.
All right, so let's go to the next point of this then. I mean, look, I'll leave it alone. I just think, again, the Giants have had and have right now weak leadership. And I don't – the Joe Shane drafting, just go look at it. And I'll give Daboll credit for Jackson Dart before I give it to Shane. But who do you want as the next head coach?
Well, it all depends. You know, if somebody like Matt LaFleur gets let go in Green Bay, which I couldn't believe or I won't believe that's ever going to happen, he would be like right at the top of my list. I mean, he would be perfect. But, you know, that's probably not going to happen. Again, I don't feel like it's trending that way. I know people are talking like that. Sure. I don't see Mike Tomlin coming here. I don't see, you know, John Gruden or Bill Belichick coming back here. Somebody said Josh McDaniels coming down from New England. I doubt that's going to happen. You got to remember, you know, this is Mike Kafka's audition on the job. If he can do something here special with Jackson Dart and that continues to grow when he comes back, I wouldn't be surprised that they decide to keep him. That's happened in the past. Some guys have been successful in this regard. Other guys haven't been. Like I think of Antonio Pierce. He was an interim coach who was then named head coach after his team went 5-4. So Kafka's on the job auditioning right now. As far as anybody else out there that is concerned, maybe Jeff Hafley, the defensive coordinator in Green Bay, could be a guy. Would they go down the Brian Flores road? They need somebody who, by the way, has head coaching experience. They can't hire somebody, you know, that is a coordinator. They need somebody who's more of a CEO type than anything else.
Okay. I just wanted to do kind of a coaching index here. And again, I put it in two different categories. You mentioned LaFleur. That was ghastly. And by the way, talking about these coaches, boom, we're going to cover a lot of these games. Look, there's a play calling issue here. There's something wrong with the pack, with LaFleur, with Jordan Love. Every first down's a run. I feel like every third down is third and eight. Is there a world if the pack falter, he's coaching for his job? You've already hinted no in your mind.
Yeah, I don't feel that way. I'm sure that frustrated Green Bay fans may feel differently, just like, you know, fans of every other team feel a certain way about their head coach, especially when things aren't going well. Maybe the Bills are frustrated with Sean McDermott, especially with the way that they played last week in Miami.
Yes, so I have him on the list coaching for their job rest of the way. Because Sean McDermott's bad, boom, but because how many cracks at this, how many bites at the apple are you going to get? If the Bills falter, the Patriots win the East, and let's say the Bills are wild card and done, I could see a world McDermott's out.
Right. So I personally think the Patriots will win the East. And I think both Kansas City and Buffalo are going to have their hands full here as we run down the final part of the season. Now, the one thing I will say is they have two supermen at quarterback, so they can camouflage wherever the shortcomings are with their particular team. But when they're not on, like Josh Allen was not on last week, now all of a sudden they get exposed because their defense can't stop the run. And that is the most important thing here as we head into November and December, that you have to be able to stop the run in the Northeast when you're outdoors. And if you can't do that, you're going to get steamrolled, and that's what happened to him last week with Devon Achane. So for me, I wouldn't say that about these two coaches. I actually like both coaches. I think they're both terrific coaches. Could you tell me where you could see that maybe these coaches have taken their teams as far as they could go and maybe they need some new blood? I could understand that if that would be the case.
That's kind of where I'm at. I don't think they're bad guys or bad coaches. I just wonder if they're the guy to get them over the top. Now, I have four I've identified as dead men walking. Mike McDaniel, despite this simulation we're living in where they win games now. Jonathan Gannon, franchise is a mess. Captain Capri Pants, Raheem Morris. And I added one just based on the fact that guy's 100 and the franchise is going nowhere, Pete Carroll.
Yeah, I could see that one and done for Pete Carroll. I could definitely see that. Now, let's go to Miami for a second. They've won two out of their last three games. They play Washington and Madrid. They have New Orleans. They have the Jets. So they could theoretically win the next three games and have a four-game winning streak going into Pittsburgh. And then they end with Cincinnati, Tampa Bay, and New England. So, you know, yes, it looks like Mike McDaniel would be a dead man walking, but guess who walked out the door? The GM. So to me, maybe Mike McDaniel won that fight internally, and okay. Now he knows that he's fighting for his job as well and has a chance maybe to save it.
Gannon, Morris, both gone?
I would say more Morris than Gannon because I think this Atlanta thing has been a disaster.
It has.
They have great players, man. They have some of the best athletes, but they have yet to come together as a total team. The one thing I will say about this whole thing in Atlanta is I don't know what the whole Kirk Cousins, Michael Penix dynamic is like down there because they were asking Michael Penix after his game, I think it was last week, is there anybody you can turn to and, you know, talk to about the struggles of being a quarterback? I would have bet $1 million he was going to say Kirk Cousins. He didn't even say Kirk's name. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, there's got to be a dynamic there that is ripping this team apart that we don't see.
No, and again, you can have. I think those issues exist in a majority of franchises, but your leadership either reins it in or they don't. I think Raheem Morris is a good defensive coordinator. I don't think he's a head coach. I think it's just it's very Matt Patricia-esque. I just think certain guys are coordinators. They're not the CEO type, as you said. They're not leaders.
You talked about Gannon. The only thing about him is that you know they got to figure out what they're doing with Kyler Murray. So here's two guys who I think are under enormous pressure. One will be Kyle Murray. I know he's on IR, so we're not going to, maybe we won't see him again this year. I'm not sure if it's long-term IR. I'm not really sure the total situation there, but I think they got to make a decision about him being their quarterback moving forward. I'm not big on small quarterbacks. You know that. And the other one is a big quarterback and somebody who just hasn't lived up to all the hype and expectations. That's Trevor Lawrence. And what happens if he doesn't get his team to the playoffs this year?
Okay, so perfect. Moving forward with him. I know, like last week, that is the quintessential. Like if you're going to put that at the Museum of Modern Art and frame a picture of Trevor Lawrence's career, it's last week. You can't close out Davis Mills. You can't make one singular winning play. You have a horrific turnover where you float a ball late over the middle to the inside. Yes, it was a great interception. But Boomer, he just doesn't make winning plays. And look, I don't want you to have your head explode and go, Mike, you're being a radio guy again. But I hate his body language. I believe in it. I think you got to be a leader out there. It doesn't mean you have to scream at people. Boomer, his body language makes me want to throw the TV off the wall.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not saying that you're being a radio guy. You're actually being accurate. And I would agree with that. And the thing about Trevor, when you think about it, is, you know, he basically is probably dominated everywhere he's been from high school to Clemson. We all know he never lost a game in high school in Clemson, and now he has to face adversity with the Jaguars and three different coaches and all the different moving parts around him. So it's not easy to be consistent and really stable under those conditions. But think about this for 1 minute. If they don't make it, and let's say Jacksonville, we got to move on from him. Do you think, and I'm not saying that I'm out on J.J. McCarthy yet, you think Kevin O'Connell would love to get his hands on Trevor Lawrence?
Yes, I think certain guys are capable of fixing just about any QB. You could tell me Stafford retires and the Rams F them picks, and you have Sean McVay take the case.
There you go, yeah.
There are just certain guys I believe in enough that I say, you know what? You could take a soaking wet shoe and fix it. Yeah, I sure.
Well, I don't know why Matthew Stafford would retire since he's the only QB in NFL history with 20 TD passes and zero interceptions in a six-game span within a season. He's also the only QB all-time with four or more pass touchdowns and zero interceptions in three straight games, meaning that he's playing the best football he's ever played.
Maybe they win the whole thing and he says, I've had it. I don't know. We'll get to it. Commanders, total free fall. That was the most openly quiet quit I've ever seen. I mean, league-wide this season, that defense was a disgrace last week. Dan Campbell play calling or not, Washington simply said, we don't want to go to Spain. The Dan Quinn thing, now he takes over defensive play calling. This just looks like a complete lost season. But where are you from a franchise standpoint? It has been shocking, the lack of effort in Washington.
I think I've told you this before on this show. The last couple of weeks, they have the oldest average roster in the league, and it's playing like it. And when you lose one of the most exciting players in the league, and Jaden Daniels, now all of a sudden all these other things start popping up. Guys missing games, guys, you know, I don't want to say they're mailing it in. I don't believe that. I think they are trying. I just think, you know, Detroit was coming off of that just dreadful loss, and Dan Campbell's taking over play calling, so I guess they do miss Ben Johnson after all. And I would just tell you that was a bad spot for Washington, as it is this week against Miami, because, you know, they're playing in Madrid. And Miami is in the midst of winning two out of their last three. Washington's going the other way. And you just feel like Miami's got all the momentum at their back, and Washington doesn't. So maybe one of the more disappointing seasons by a team this year would be the Washington Commanders. I'd put them up there with the Bengals. I'd put them up there with a couple of these other teams that we all had higher hopes for. Maybe even the Bills and the Chiefs, depending on what happens with them here the second half of the season.
All right, go to the Bears, because they're winning, and I can't rip teams for winning, but I don't even feel good about it. I don't feel like the Bears won as much as the Giants lost, and I still, Caleb is getting better, but on 13 dropbacks in the fourth quarter, he scrambles on 7 of them, even when he doesn't have to.
Yeah.
Where are you at with the Bears in total? Because you want to believe they're fun. The defense is horrific.
Yeah, but I love their head coach. You know, he's got an attitude. He's got a moxie about him, and he's got a real confidence about him. So when he stands up there in front of those guys, I know he's inspiring that team. When you watch Caleb Williams and you compare him to Drake May, both guys drafted the same year, both guys going through new coaching changes.
It's night and day.
It's night and day. You watch a guy who is completely poised, and Drake May stands in there, drops back, throws beautiful passes, reads the defense, goes through all the progressions. When you watch Caleb, first guy not there, boom, I'm out of here.
Yep.
And, you know, it's great when you're that good of an athlete and you get away with it. Kyler Murray has been doing it for years, but Kyler Murray keeps getting hurt. So I would just say that Caleb needs to calm down. I'm sure Ben Johnson's trying. I would say each and every week it's gotten a little bit better, but it's not where Drake May is. It's not where Matthew Stafford is. It's not where Josh Allen is. I mean, he's still significantly outside the top 10. But winning games and winning games late means something. You know that touchdown run against the Giants? He had two wide open receivers standing right in his face, and he decided not to throw
it. It's Shane Bowen.
Yeah, but he decided not to throw it. You know, so most quarterbacks would end up throwing the ball. For some reason, he tucked it and ran it. Now, good for him, he got the touchdown.
Yeah.
And it was the game-winning touchdown. But I would just say, yeah, he's a little bit too unrefined yet at the position, but he's getting better, believe it or not.
Yeah, I know. I talked about it at the start of the year, Ben Johnson coming from Detroit. He's not one of these pencil pushers, a nerd. He's a red ass. I don't care if you think, well, he doesn't look like it. He is. And he demands perfection. And Caleb's either going to get with the program or he won't be there. Because Ben Johnson doesn't mess around. And I'll tell you, we miss him here in Detroit. He's fabulous as an OC. All right, we've got maybe the best card of the year. We're going to go through all the picks. Maybe the game of the year. Little West Coast love today. All that and more on this episode of Kickoff with Boomer and Valet.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to take command.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. I'm Grant Paulson, and along with my co-host, 10-year NFL tight end Logan Paulson, we break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis, honest evaluations, and the context you need to truly understand the game. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pod.
It's Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti.
This is arguably the best card of the year. Premium matchups, ton of divisional games. You got some interesting cross.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan. Or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Cross country and hell, global games. Let's do the picks.
Picks of the week.
Hola. We're live from Spain. Dolphins laying 2.5 as they welcome in the Commanders, who may or may not want to be here.
Well, Terry McLaurin's not going to be there, that's for sure. And I will say that Washington has lost 4 consecutive games by 21 or more points. That's their longest single season streak since 1970. I'm going with the Dolphins just simply because of that. And in the previous segment, we were talking about who has the momentum, who's got the wind at their back. That is the Dolphins in this game.
Yep, got to do it. I have a belief that at least the Dolphins want to play money for football. I do question that with the Commanders. Chargers laying 2.5 as they travel to Jacksonville.
You know, we were talking about, you know, pressure points. And one of those pressure points is right here for Trevor Lawrence. You know, Jacksonville, I think, you know, I've played these guys before, and it's been high-scoring games. They've been going up and down the field. To me, when I think about the Chargers, somehow they're piecing it together, especially with their offensive line. Jacksonville, you know, they're a team that has been so inconsistent. I really feel like the Chargers have found their footing. I feel like their defense has found their footing. And the one thing we have seen is that Trevor Lawrence struggles against top-end defenses. So I will lay the points, and I will take the Chargers.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Play of the week. Nobody wants him. Cross-country travel. They can't protect their quarterback. And when nobody wants them and hope is lost, that's where we show up. Jacksonville, give me the 2.5. I can't believe it, but I have to. I know. Boomer, it requires bravery. Bills laying 6.5 as they take on the Bucks.
Well, I'll tell you what, I love this game. I think this is going to be uber competitive. Two great quarterbacks. Buffalo coming off of that embarrassing loss in Miami. Baker Mayfield and the Bucs coming off of a loss at home against the Patriots. I got to believe that Buffalo's got to bounce back here simply because Superman will put on his cape. The Bills fans will be rocking. Josh Allen is never really ever has two bad games in a row. To me, it's a bounce back spot. I do think they cover the number. I like the number. The number is... It would make me think the Bucks, but I'm going to take the home Buffalo Bills here, and I expect them to explode offensively.
Total agreement with you. I think the number is suggestive. They need people to buy the Bucks. Here's 6.5. I'm worried about the Bucks. I love Baker. I'm worried about him. Bucky Irving still out, limited practice time of taping. He's listed as doubtful for the game. You know Mike Evans isn't playing. I'm just worried about him. And this is a got-to-have-it spot for the Bills. Yeah, I'm with Boomer. Here's one. We just talked about the Bears. 6-3. It's feel-good theater. Vikings laying 2.5. Huh?
Yeah, I don't get this. You know, and here's another one. This is another spot for J.J. McCarthy to to show that he belongs, to prove
to
his head coach that he's the guy. This is why I floated the idea a few weeks ago, and then I asked you last segment about Trevor Lawrence. If Trevor Lawrence doesn't do things in Jacksonville that we would expect him to do, would they consider trading him? And would the Rams, if Matthew Stafford decides to retire, or the Vikings go after somebody like Trevor Lawrence? I could see that. I really can.
I could see the Vikings making a play on Kyler Murray, as crazy as it sounds. It's Kevin O'Connell. He could fix anybody.
Yeah, but, you know, I think I'd rather have a 6'6" quarterback than a 5'10" one.
Yes,
I can tell you that.
I agree.
All right, so I'm going to take the Bears here. I'm going to take the points and the Bears. I would think that, you know, they got the momentum in their back and or toward the at their back, I should say. And I do think that Caleb Williams presents problems for Brian Flores, whose defense just hasn't been that great this year.
I think the Bears have been getting away with murder. I think they've been flying way too close to the sun. The fact that the Vikes are favored, Bears defense is so bad. I'll try it one more time here with JJ. Give me the Vikes. Lay the 2.5. Packers laying 7 at the Giants, and no planes will be flying because they did fire. Well, they could still demand to sell the team, I guess. I don't know. Packers laying 7. Go ahead.
So I see something here that says famous Jameis gives the Giants a spark of the week, and this seems to be
stunning.
Scones' pick of the week.
Absolutely. Give me the Giants. Kafka's making a bid for a head coaching position in this league. This is the first time he's going to be calling plays after Daboll stole it from him. He's putting Jameis in there. I think they're going to have fun, the Giants. Give me the Giants plus the 7.5.
Wow.
Oh, you know,
it's brave.
I can't figure out the
Boomer.
Packers either. That's another part of it. I can't figure them out.
They are obviously struggling. They've had a long week. They've had problems on offense. There's no question about that. But what's the elixir to a problematic offense? A leaky defense. And what are the Giants? The Giants are a leaky defense. They give up points, especially late in games. I would not normally pick this game. I would have picked the Giants had Jackson Dart been playing in this game. But because it's famous Jameis, and I know that he is an interception waiting to happen, I'm going to go with Jordan Love and Matt LaFleur, and I think they turn it around here offensively.
This is the one thing, Scones, that scares me. LaFleur, every first down, runs the ball. He ain't going to be 2nd-and-9 against the Giants. They just can't stop the run. And I'm not telling you it'll be pretty. I wouldn't touch this game with a 10-foot pole. Scones, you could give me a free play from your bank account. I wouldn't touch this
Low
game.
Low scoring, though, do you think?
You know what, Scones? You're asking me to figure out the Giants. Buddy, you might be right. I hope you're right.
Over-under is 42.5. I think it's under, and I take that. Whenever it's an under, I'll take
right.
the dog plus the points.
Yeah, it's correlated. Under, you take the dog. Over, you take the favorite. I'm with Boomer. I can already see famous Jameis blowing the cover. You're down by 4. Here's Jameis, and he throws it into 7 Packers. Give me Green Bay. Texans, Titans. Texans laying 5.5.
Wow, Davis Mills and Titans are a mess, still a mess, you know, division game. Davis actually seems to have calmed down that offense. What a fourth quarter, by the way, they had. And this is one of the reasons why I would go back to when Jaden Daniels was in the game for the Washington Commanders, that series he got hurt, is because of games like what happened last week with the Texans, how they came back in the fourth quarter, the way the Bears came back in the fourth quarter, the way the Cowboys came back in the fourth quarter. Same thing with the Bills against the Ravens early on in the season. So, you know, I'm gonna take the Texans here. I'll lay the points. The Titans, I don't know where they're headed. You talk about a lost franchise right now. I would say they are one of the two lost franchises as we sit here right now, not knowing what their future looks like at all at this moment.
Yeah, would never do this in real life. But if you have some bylaws, this is one of them. Home divisional dog, you're, what, week 11? Texans laying to 5.5 with a backup QB and no way to protect them. Give me the Titans. Absolutely grotesque. Atlanta laying 3.5 as they welcome the Panthers.
Yeah, the Panthers have been good on the road, man, defensively. Not offensively, but defensively. They've been able to shut down teams, especially obviously the Green Bay Packers, the New York Jets. I mean, I give Dave Canales a lot of credit for being able to win games and stay in games with Bryce Young as his quarterback, because to me, that ship should be sailed. They should be looking for a new quarterback next year. I'll say that right now. It's a division game. Should be a tight game here. I'm going to take the Panthers and the points.
Yeah, I can't do it anymore. This Bryce Young thing, I mean, it's you're lucky. He may as well play for Navy. Kid barely throws for 100 yards. I can't do it. You lose to the Saints, they throw you in jail. Give me Atlanta. Steelers lay to 4.5 as they welcome in the Bengals.
So long week for the Steelers offense. You know, they come back from the Charger game and their offense was horrendous. Aaron Rodgers was horrendous. He basically said they all played like crap, and I agree 100%. So much like the Packers offense versus the Giant defense, how about the Steelers offense versus this Cincinnati Bengal defense? So you would think that you would get healthy here at home. I think they're going to score a lot of points on this Bengals defense. The question is can the secondary, unlike the last time these two teams played, at least get in the way of one of these wide receivers and make one or two play on a ball, for God's sake? So I'm going to take the home Steelers, and I'll lay the 4.5.
Yeah, this is brutal. You know how I feel about that Steelers secondary. They just look unathletic, not quick. Steelers question mark. I'll go with it. I never in a million years would I involve myself in this, but give me the Steelers. This is another one. What are the Niners doing? Only favored by 2.5 as they travel to Arizona. And this is going to be a home game for the Niners. Niner fans invade Phoenix.
Yeah, this is going to be a weird game. Brock Purdy is going to start for the Niners. So if there is another quarterback that's under intense pressure because his backup, Mac Jones, played really admirably in his place. And I'm sure a number of teams around the league took notice of that, so I wouldn't be surprised if Mac Jones get a starting job somewhere else, much like Sam Darnold and Daniel Jones and Baker Mayfield have. So I'm going to take the Niners here. I am. I'm going to lay the 2.5. Jacoby's been a nice little backup and a nice little alternative for Jonathan Gannon, but I don't think they're going to have enough against the Niners offense that should score at least 26 to 28 points here.
I'm phoning a friend. Scones, the blood's on your hand, just like Boomer steered us into the Panthers last week.
Hey.
Niners cards.
After
what, are you
what
doing?
They did to me last week, give me the Cardinals. I was watching that game with bating breath every play. And give me the Cardinals. I can't take the Niners again.
Done. The spread looks weird and nobody wants the cards. To hell with it. Go Cards. Chiefs Broncos. Get to the premium section here. Chiefs are laying 3.5, which I think is telling as they travel to Denver.
Yeah, I like the Broncos here. I think it's low scoring. Bo Nix and their offense has not been great. They'll struggle here against this Chief defense without question. But I think it's low scoring. So therefore, if it were 3 or less, I would go with the Chiefs. But since it's 3.5, that half a point wants me to take the home Broncos here.
Yeah, Bo Nix worries me. But it's 3.5 at home, divisional. You know you're getting the Bronco defense. The tackles for the Chiefs are still an issue. You should see a lot of pressure on Mahomes. Give me the 3.5. Ravens laying 7.5 in Cleveland. You know what to do.
I'm not taking the Browns. There's
you
no
know.
Way. There's no way. I can't.
Boomer, yes, what? You can. Believe in yourself.
I believe in me. Do I believe in you pushing me? That's what I don't believe
in. It's a divisional dog, elite defense, and you're catching 7.5. It's a bylaw.
Have you seen Dylan Gabriel play quarterback?
It's suboptimal. I know. You talk about, he's got the hat trick, by the way. He's small, he's got no arm strength, and he's not really mobile. That is a hat trick of disaster.
And guess what? On the other side, here comes Lamar Jackson. And Lamar Jackson is revving his team up, and they are making this furious run. I mean, this is incredible what they're in the middle of doing. I understand what you're saying about the points, the division. I'm going to take – I don't care. I'm taking the Ravens, and I'm going to lay the points.
I'll tell you, I was impressed with what the Ravens did because that game really started poorly for them. And you're on the road, and, you know, Minnesota's not a corpse, right? Like, Minnesota has things to play for. And the Ravens exerted a dominance we haven't really seen. You know, you go on the road, you beat somebody up like that, it matters. I just, you know how this works. You played the damn game. Divisional games hit different. You're on the road. That's a real defense for Cleveland. You do wonder if they're ready to lay down and quit at a certain point because, like, guys, this offense is horrendous. I got to do it, though. I got to take the 7.5. Give me the Browns.
You know, it was like the Bills at Miami last week.
Yes.
You remember that big road favorite going into the division, and then all of a sudden the Miami Dolphins turn it on.
I gave you that letdown. I mean, Boomer, and again, you know it. They're men. They're not machines. You know, just because it looks good on paper, there is an emotional quotient to this. Yeah, give me the Browns. Eagles-Lions. This was going to be the game of the week, but I wanted to respect Seattle and L.A., do a little West Coast football this week. Eagles laying 2.5 against the Lions.
Man, I'll tell you what, you talk about an Eagle team that needs to wake up, and A.J. Brown's got to get involved, and he's got to get involved early and often. Jared Goff is playing amazing football. He's completing 74% of his passes. He's got 20 TDs and only 3 interceptions. It's amazing what he's doing. I think this is an opportunity for them to go in there and lay the hammer down. I was listening to Aiden Hutchinson talk about getting ready for this game. And because the Philadelphia Eagle offense has been stagnant, to say the least, I'm going to take the Lions here and the points.
I'm going to go I think Petullo clearly a problem. But this Eagle defense, when the Lions have faced real defenses, not the Commanders, not the Bears, not the Bungles, none of that crap. When they faced the Packers, they looked awful. When they faced the Chiefs, they looked awful. When they faced the Vikings, they looked awful. I need them to prove they can do this. And I know, the Eagles, it's pretty ratty. I got to go Philly here. I think that Philly defense with Fangio against Dan Campbell, who now newly minted calling plays, show me. Give me the Eagles lay to 2.5. Cowboys at the Raiders. Cowboys laying 3.5.
All right, so the Cowboys are going to be playing with a heavy heart. They lost their teammate, obviously, during their bye week. They came together this week. I think they're going to dedicate this game to their teammate who committed suicide. I think you're going to get a huge surge and a big play out of them. This is the first time Quinnen Williams is putting on the uniform for that defense. I have a feeling that the Cowboys will play well here. I'm going to lay the 3.5, and I think they score at least 30 points against this Raider defense.
I might be nuts. They still can't stop the run. Raiders plus 3.5? Oh, God. All right, Raiders. Boomer, we're opposite on a bunch, so this is going to be fun. You know what else is fun? Sam Darnold versus Matthew Stafford. Next. I can't wait to talk about this game. That and more. This is Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti.
It's Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti.
I'm so excited for this game. Rams, Seahawks. Yeah, we need to show the West Coast some love. And these two, you can make an argument. Tops in the NFC. Rams are 3-point favorites. Boomer, I want you to start. I don't want to poison the jury with my Darnold bias.
Well,
What's your early lean on this?
Well, we talked about the Seattle Seahawks being road warriors, and they have been road warriors. However, the Rams are averaging 37 points per game in their last 3 games. And over that span, the great Matthew Stafford has become the first player in NFL history with those statistics I told you about in our first segment, 4 or more pass TDs and 0 interceptions in 3 straight games. And a lot of this is coming out of what they call 13 personnel. That's 1 running back and 3 tight ends. And that they had to do that when Puka Nacua was hurt. Now with him back, they've been using some combos of their tight ends, Tyler Higbee and Colby Parkinson and Davis Allen and Terrence Ferguson as well, to create mismatches versus all these base defenses. So this is a coach that manufactures offense and draws in plays and puts in personnel groups that take advantage of what defenses haven't seen on tape before. But now the Seahawks and Mike McDonald, who is a defensive coach by nature, they understand this. I think this is going to be a high-scoring game. I think this is going to be up and down the field. And I think both teams are going to score in the upper 20s, if not the lower 30s. So I think we got ourselves one of these classic great offensive games. And I kind of am leaning towards the Rams right now, unless you talk me out of it.
Nope. No, I'm all in on the Rams here. I think there is a disparity at quarterback. As good as Darnold is, I think Stafford's another level. And I think he's playing on a different level. When a guy's 37, you're playing this way, there's a synergy in that offense. And I'm with you. I think Devontae Adams has really changed the game for the Rams. The compliment to Nacua, I think you'll have some opportunities against Seattle's corners. We haven't done one of these geo spots. This is a... I don't know, ginger letdown spot. Like, Darnold in a big spot seems to falter. This is as big as it gets.
Well, we're going to also, don't forget, they added Rashid Shaheed to this team offense, which I think is great. One of the real not talked about statistics for quarterbacks is yards per attempt. Think about that for a second. That also pushes up rating points really high. So completion percentage and yards per attempt. Sam Darnold now has 2 straight games where that yards per attempt has been more than 13 yards. Think about the big play capability that means. And in the last 45 season, only 2 other quarterbacks, or 2 seasons by 1 quarterback, have had that kind of number attached to them. And that was Kurt Warner back in 2000 and 99, when he was with, obviously, the greatest show on turf. So Sam Darnold right now is averaging 9.92 yards per attempt. That tells me that they are getting just huge super plays out of their passing game.
Do you know what your career YPA was with the Bengals?
I have no idea.
9.1.
Well, there you go. See, I was a bomb nice job with that. Just like Sam Darnold.
That's right. Listen, franchise leader in it. Least they could do is buy you a plane ticket. My God.
They did.
All right. All right. Yeah, I like the Rams. A question before we go to the scones part of this deal. One, both, or neither Super Bowl team. Rams, Seattle. Are both of them Super Bowl capable? One of them or neither of them?
I say they both are, but I favor the Rams because I had the Rams as the NFC champion this year. So I'm going to stick with the Rams and with the way that Matthew Stafford is playing, I can't back off of that now.
Okay, let's get to it. Scones, what do you got, buddy?
Imagine Sam Darnold in the Super Bowl. Imagine that. Hello, Vikings.
I don't want to live in that world.
Time for playoff picture, guys. We're going into week 11, so let's talk a little playoff picture. Number one, New England. They are the one seed right now in the AFC after a win on Thursday against the Jets. They get a first-round bye. If they don't stay in that position, who takes the number one seed, or do they stay in that position?
I say they stay in that position, and I look at their schedule. Now, we looked at their schedule before the season started. We both thought that they would be at least a wild card team. We didn't expect the Bills' defense to be as leaky as they have been, especially against the run. And with the way that Mike Vrabel and Josh McDaniels have handled their quarterback, to me, and spent all that money in free agency and spent it wisely, by the way, in the offseason, I don't see how they're not the number one seed in the AFC.
I'm with you. Total agreement. They've been my darling since summer. I can't change now.
Wow, so they don't get tripped up. Okay, all right.
You know what it is, Scones? They've already beaten the Bills once. They have the impressive road win against Tampa, and they're just complete. I mean, what was it last week, fellas? It was the first time they'd given up 50 yards to a running back this year. I mean, they're doing it with the fundamentals. You have the lockdown corner in Gonzalez. You have the MVP caliber quarterback. I love the head coach. I love the OC. Yeah, I got to stick with it. I don't trust this Bills team. I just don't.
Just remember, they spent all this money around a top young quarterback before they have to pay that top young quarterback.
Yeah.
So this is the way that you build the team, and this is the way that you win.
So we're using that money to surround the quarterback, obviously. All right. Eagles have been a hard team to figure out. You guys alluded to it earlier. They're currently 7-2. They are on top the NFC with a first-round bye if the season ended today. Do they get tripped up, or do they stay where they are?
Here's the comp I have for this, Boomer. Ready?
Yep.
The 2025 Eagles are the 2024 Chiefs. They win. They just win ugly. And they win close. Fair?
Yeah, very fair. And I think it accurately describes who they are. I just think the Rams are a little bit better.
Okay. And yes. Now, it's interesting is, look, obviously we have a lot of football left, but it's not a lot. Like, it's a lot, but it's not a lot. These games, this is going to condense down quick. Like Eagles-Lions, Rams-Seahawks. Huge impact weekend. I lean Rams as well. I got to believe behind the scenes, if Petullo's still calling plays, they're going to change up what they're doing, or he's not. Remember, nobody was talking about Dan Campbell calling plays last week, and then he popped up with high school principal glasses and a play sheet. So Eagles are going to do something, right?
You would think so, and you would also remember they lost their offense coordinator, Kellen Moore. He's now the head coach down in New Orleans. So it's just like the Lions losing Ben Johnson. It's the same thing. And I lost my offensive coordinator twice in my career. When you lose the guy that you trust the most, that knows you the best, it's going to have a profound effect on the way that you play and the way the team plays. So, yeah, I would think that Nick Sirianni is going to have to do something here. But the one thing I will say, you better throw the ball to A.J. Brown like five straight times to start the game, please, just to keep him happy.
Yeah, but you know what? I actually like it. Scones, I don't mean to derail the segment. I actually like what Brown did this week. I think there's an element, like Philly, it's not good enough to win. We got to win impressively. You know, Saquon's not averaging four a carry. The passing game has looked busted. I think AJ, a lot of this is just about we're not performing, and yeah, I can help us be better. I didn't hate it. This didn't bother me as much as the book on the sidelines.
Yeah, I just think there's only two teams in the NFC that can beat them, and both are in the NFC West, the Rams and the Seahawks. They're better balanced teams than the Eagles are.
And you're leaving the Lions out of that. Okay.
Yeah, I think they got too many injuries, and I don't think their defense is as good as either one of the Seahawks or the Rams.
All right. Now, I'm going to jump around here. I can't believe I'm actually going to ask this. Mm-hmm. But are the Chiefs going to make the playoffs?
I'm going to let Boomer go first. He
always get the tough ones.
That's a tough one. That's why I wanted to jump to it. I wanted to make sure I got that one in.
This may be the first year that Patrick Mahomes doesn't make it.
Yes.
That's why this game is so important this week against the Broncos.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And they don't, I can't take you know, any more. I need a break.
I saw somebody say that the NFL's already wrote the script that the Broncos are going to have like 15 penalties called against them this week to make sure the Chiefs win.
17 for 183.
Right, exactly. There's a really, really good possibility they don't make it.
There is. And look, the Chargers are going to hold the key to it. I mean, I don't think divisionally they're getting three. So, you know, again, I'm not ready to write them off. I think, again, we just talked about it, right? Things are condensing down. You go, well, it's week 11. We got plenty of time. You don't. Like this week, you play the Broncos. Chargers got to fly cross country. If those results are where they need to be, all of a sudden it looks different for the Chiefs.
All right, guys, we're going to stay at the same. Sorry, Mike. You had something.
No, you're good. No, you're good.
We're going to stay with the same theme here. Another question. The Ravens are 4-5. Do they make the playoffs?
Yes.
100% yes.
Steelers out, Ravens in. Done.
When the dust settles, give me your top four, NFC and AFC. Boomer.
Top four is going to be the Rams, be the Lions, going to be the Eagles, and I'm going to say the Bucks are going to win the South. Over the AFC, it's going to be the Patriots, the Colts. I think the Chargers over the Broncos and the Chiefs, and the Ravens are going to win the AFC North.
I can't put the Chargers there. I'd stick with the Broncos. No one's catching the Colts. Pats win.
Bo Nix, the way they've been playing offense versus Justin Herbert.
I know, but again, defense plus O-line. Look, Broncos O-line, nobody gives those guys credit. They're really good, man. NFC's tougher. Glad you're asking me not to rank them, by the way, either. The East is a joke, so the Eagles will be there. I'll go Rams. I just don't see it with the Packers. But again, Lions are going to face the Eagles this week and a Pack on Thanksgiving in 2 weeks. That is as must-win as it gets for the Pack. The winner of that game on Thanksgiving will win the North. And who's catching the Bucks? That's the problem. From a Can I ask a question before we depart? Boomer, are you at a point we got to get rid of the auto seeding to division winners? And we just take the top seven in each conference, record-based.
No, only reason being is that you play each team twice in your division, and that has to mean something. It's got to stand for something. If you want to say that you want to reconfigure the way that the seedings are concerned, I'd be up for that. So if you had a 10-7 wild card team versus a 9-8
yes.
division winner – that 9-8 division winner should go to the 10-7 wild card team.
That's how I feel. Yeah, yes. Like the Bucks with that division shouldn't be seated ahead of the Rams. In my world.
Yes, I agree.
Okay, Scones, go ahead, buddy.
AFC wild card teams, Chargers, Bills, and Jaguars. Do you see any surprises coming out of these wild card teams? And also surprises could be negative. Do the Bills even make the playoffs? Do they drop out? Do the Jaguars squeak in, guys?
All right, so I'm going to say the Jaguars don't make it. The Ravens will make it, and I think the Pittsburgh Steelers will be in it as well. So that's one of the reasons why I'm saying, what would you do if you were Jacksonville? Would you entertain trades for, one Trevor Lawrence, and you feel like he may want out of there and want to go somewhere else himself?
I wonder what you could even get for him. I really do. Because you got to take that contract as well. Boomer, I don't know what you get for him.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
You're not getting a first-round pick for him.
Third-rounder.
Yeah, okay, Brian. Now, like, how about this? We'll split the difference. It'll be a two and a pick swap. Like, it's not going to be one of these, hey, Stafford went to the Rams for two firsts. I think this guy's killed his value. No, Jags aren't making it. You can't make the playoffs wearing a fishing vest. Bills will make it. Chargers will make it. Maybe the Chiefs do creep in. Maybe we pop the Chiefs in there. Steelers out, Ravens in. The NFC, obviously, Seahawks will make it because I picked the Rams to win the division. I think the Pack will make it. I worry about the Bears. Things are about to get tougher. I think the Bears are going to lose this week. What if the zombie Niners? I'll go Niners just for fun.
Wow,
zombie
really?
Niners make it. Yeah.
And just the one thing just to remind you on Trevor Lawrence, he did sign a five-year, $275 million contract.
Woof. What is that? What is the Price is Right sound? Bum, bum, ba-da.
That's true. And that contract goes all the way to 2030.
Oh, my God.
And his cap hits, they are pretty significant. There is a potential out after the 2028 season, so that could be something to look at and seriously think about if you're a Jacksonville Jaguar fan or if you are the general manager of the Jaguars, if he can't lead his team to the playoffs.
Well, I tell you, this has been an exciting episode. Boomer's just Trevor Lawrence pinata edition. It's been great. Listen, hell of a week of football. Kick back, relax, enjoy it. We'll be here next week to recap everything, see if we can get another coach fired. This has been Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti.
It's Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.